Hey guys, this is Mary.
This is Elise.
And this is the Messy Buns Podcast. Today we're talking about turning the other cheek, what that means, and what the heck it doesn't mean. You know what I'm saying? And a little bit of vulnerability. Y'all ready for this? The dogs are dancing.
Licking their paws, smelling each other's butts.
Or licking their ears. Elise has these dogs that are adorable. I actually really love them. But the weird thing about it is one of them licks and eats the other's ears.
Yes.
Which is weird. But weirdness runs in your family, right?
That is just not even the half of it. Yes.
Okay, I know y'all can't see us right now, but I just, you know, for the record, I was wearing a messy bun yesterday, but I washed my hair and it's no longer messy and it's no longer in a bun.
I'm really disappointed in you.
But Elise is rocking a messy bun right now. I just wanted you all to know that. All right, now I'm calm. So, what's
up? Hi.
Hi.
So I wanted to tell you about this awesome thing that happened to me recently. I started this new online ministry, right?
Yes.
And like part of it is like me being vulnerable, and like I've always loved comedy. So I'm trying to like come up with characters to do like little comedy sketches, mm-hmm. you know? So I bought one wig.
Is that the one you used once already?
No. Oh, okay. Oh no, those were just other wigs. Segment. I'm just collecting wigs.
You just have
I love
of wigs.
To dress okay. up. So I order this one wig for this one character, and it's taking forever to come in, and it already was going to take forever to come in because it wasn't prime. So they send me a message.
Things that aren't prime.
I know, seriously. But it was just so cool. I couldn't find another
you
one like
help
it.
Yourself. Okay.
So I contact them and I'm like, I wanted it by this time, and now you're telling me it might be like a week, 2 weeks later.
So rude.
So I was really impressed. I always give the sellers an opportunity before I write a nasty review, right? You know, so they like messaged back and they were like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. It's held up in customs. I was like, where's my wig coming from? Okay. And there's like nothing we can do about it, but you know, we could credit your account or redo the order, but it means that you'll get the wig even later. And I was like, well, I mean, if you want to, because they were like, we'll gift it to you. And I was like,
if you
want to
gift me
gift
me a wig.
Please gift it to me. So I freaking got this like $30 wig for free, and it came in and it's fabulous.
Don't you just love it when like people do good things? Like they
do
the right thing.
Oh, I know.
Now you're going to return and be a happy customer.
Oh, and I will I'm going to write a review. I'm going to probably do a video review.
Heck yeah, you are.
But wait, but that's not
wait,
it.
Are you gonna
that's
do
not
a
it.
Video review?
Oh, yeah, girl.
Who does a video review?
Everybody does video reviews.
All right. I'm obviously stuck in last century.
Okay. So wait. So it doesn't end
more.
There. Okay.
Okay.
So I was telling you about this character. So I want to do this character that's kind of like the depressed one, you know?
Oh,
remember how I was talking to you about this?
Nice and
so
depressed. I like it.
So I bought this other wig. Okay. So I order the wig and it says it's been delivered because it was prime and it's nowhere to be found. So they're like, we'll give it till this date. And I was like, okay, no problem. Like they were like, it looks like they accidentally, you know, said it was delivered when it wasn't. So I wait for that date. And then I even waited past that and still no wig. Okay. So I messaged them back and I said, I waited, there's still no wig. And Amazon was like, okay, well, we'll credit your account. Okay. The freaking wig shows up this week randomly in my mailbox. And I was like, Will was like, man, you need
the
to just
Amazon
keep,
fairy.
Yeah,
the
you need to just
fairy.
Keep ordering wigs and see how many you can get for free. So,
seriously.
So yeah, I got two
Please
wigs.
Name the wigs according to their characters.
Okay. Well, one is Shaniqua.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And then
okay,
the other one is Dahlia.
Dahlia. That's the depressed one, I hope.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know you so well. What a perfect, bridge into this what we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
Turning the other cheek. No, because right, like had they been saucy to you,
oh,
you would have turned the other cheek.
Oh,
right?
You that's a stretch, but okay. Nice way to try
I tried really hard. In my brain, it worked. Oh my gosh. But anyway.
Okay, but seriously, let's talk about this, because I can't stand when people, it's become like a very accepted cultural platitude to be like.
Define platitude real quick. Platitude is like,
platitude is like when people throw out these like nice things that it sounds like they're being nice, but they're really just, they don't want to deal with you. So, so it's like, oh, well, Jesus loves you, you know? And okay. Like, that's where I feel about like turn the other cheek, like, because even people who are non-Christian use it at times. And it's become this like this way of when somebody's upset, you know, and they're hurt by somebody else, it's a way to cut them off and not really hear their real heart by being like, well, turn the other cheek. Like, well,
it's oversimplifying everything. You can't just say in every circumstance, just turn the other cheek, be the bigger person, you know, do what you have to do. Like, it's important to be loving and kind. We can still do those things and still love and still choose to love and make the right decisions and hear each other's hearts.
Right. And that's, but I think it's so funny because, yeah, platitudes, I feel like they're all an oversimplification, you know, and so they really end up hurting people when you say them, because you're just not taking enough time to actually get to know the person or care enough about what they're going through. So you just make this kind of like short statement, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to this statement, like specifically, though, I really think that it's very detrimental, because the reality is turning the other cheek, and I think this is the way that it's used by society, is like, oh, well, just don't deal with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you just need to be the bigger person. You know what I mean? And that's usually what follows it.
Which, like, isn't that the lie from the enemy? Like, he just doesn't want us to deal with anything. Right. He doesn't want us to look at ourselves. He doesn't want us to invite Christ into situations. He wants us to live in the darkness.
Right. And he wants us
to
build. He doesn't want to
bring light into what is the source of this problem, because that would actually bring real growth. And, and intimacy, Like, with other human beings. And, you know, whether it's someone who's close or not, but also intimacy with Christ, because we're looking at ourselves and we're trying to find and repair the wounds that are there.
Well, and it's to me, it's like mercy is so important, you know, and it's a two-way street, you know, and when we're talking about when someone has hurt somebody, there's two people involved in this, and often there's two different perspectives, and it's each of the other one has kind of done something that has caused this situation to happen. You know, it's rare that the other person is completely, you know, above board, you know, in a sense. Like, usually it takes two to tango, you know what I mean? So when you're talking about when something happens to somebody that, you know, really is harmful from somebody else, I think that you have an opportunity for growth for both person, like you were saying. And so you go to the other person and you say, hey, this is what you did that really hurt me. And that gives the other person the opportunity to be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that that's what I did. I didn't even, whether they intended it or not, they, if they care about you, they'll be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I, that was not my intention. In fact, this is actually where it was coming from. And so then you learn something about each other and you can move forward, because now if something like that happens again, you'll be like, no, I know them. They didn't mean to do this. In fact, I'm going to bring it up to them again. So they're like, they're aware that they were doing it again, you know, and it makes your friendship deeper. You're like, oh, wow, this person cares about my feelings. They want to know me. They want to, you know, and you can grow in friendship. You know what I mean? Whereas when you say, oh, turn the other cheek, you're literally just suppressing all of those emotions. And then you have this idea of the other person that's not even correct, and you're holding this grudge in your heart and you're holding on to all this pain.
Perception is reality.
Right.
How many times do we you know, change our behavior or just believe something that we assumed?
Right.
Complete perception, because we're putting words into the other person's mouth, so to speak, even if we're not speaking to them. So I think another part of it is like, how important is this relationship to me?
Yes.
What is the depth that I'm hoping to get out of this relationship?
Yeah. Well, and I think,
and that's a question we have to answer. If someone hurts us, like, I'm either A, willing, like, is this something that I can get past and move forward, not talk badly about the person, not be mean to them? Or is this something I can't move past? And that's when you have to make the decision to say, well, then I really need to bring it up. Can I do that in love, you know, in a loving way, and to grow in depth with that person?
But it doesn't ensure, that's the thing, is you going to the other person doesn't ensure their reaction, you know? And this is where I think we have to, this is where, in a sense, I feel like turn the other cheek really does come into play, because, okay, you go to somebody and you bare your heart to them, and we all know it is easier to forgive, at least I feel like it's easier to be like, I forgive you, than it is to have somebody to go in and say to somebody that you care about, here's my heart, you hurt me. You know what I mean?
Well, especially taking away the anger, and like, and that's where vulnerability comes
in, right?
Because anger is just a symptom of like what's really there.
Right.
Like a fever. Like it's a symptom of something causing that fever. So the important thing too, not that you know, it's okay to be angry as long as we are respectful and stuff like that. But going to the root of what's causing that anger and bringing that to the person.
Right. And they have an opportunity to either reject it or to hear you. And then you have the opportunity to flesh that out together. You know what I mean? But sometimes it doesn't work out like that. Right. And that's the thing, is that sometimes relationships are toxic, and the Lord calls us to put, you know, our counselor, I'm like so used to talking about Kelly, and like it's our counselor.
Right. We go to the same counselor.
Yes, she's awesome. And one thing that she really taught me was, you know, you're not responsible for other people's reactions, and that it's still loving to go to somebody and tell them the truth of your hurt or your pain or whatever it is, you know, that you need to talk to him about. And they may reject it, you know. But that doesn't change the fact that, one, you should still do it, and two, like, you may walk away learning something about that relationship that you necessarily didn't want to learn, that maybe this person can't be trusted with your heart.
Well, but also, what else do you like to talk about that you could be missing an opportunity for that person's growth?
I mean,
that's a huge part of it.
Yes.
It's a whole nother can of worms.
We talked about this the other day.
And not that we're called to go pointing at other people's weaknesses.
Right.
Okay. Obviously, like, this is a conversation that happens ideally under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and just inviting him into that. Like, it's not always the opportunity to go and tell people, you know what I mean? Especially if you can't do it out of love. So we need to check ourselves first of all.
And I think what you said earlier that I think is a really important distinction is the Lord calling you to do this? Like, is the friendship, are you even close enough with this person that it makes, like, is it worth the effort? I hate to say it that way. Is it worth the effort? Because sometimes it's better to just walk away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of been, Kelly, our counselor, it's always like you're gathering information when you confront somebody. You know what I mean? And if you've been kind of gathering information and this person is constantly being selfish and it's all about them, then is it really worth confronting them? And it may or may not be, you know what I mean, to save the friendship or to save the relationship, you know? And I think that, you know, comes through prayer and discernment, you know, is this what the Lord is even calling me to, you know? Because there is something to when you give your heart to somebody in that fashion, it can be really damaging their reaction. So you do have to protect your heart in some way. You know what I mean? So
I think actually what happened with us is kind of a perfect example of both sides of the coin.
Oh, yeah.
Because you and I, a long time ago, had a situation where something came up and our friendship was lost.
Right. But then we got it back.
I know, I'm saying now, like, we've learned so much. The friendship was important enough, like, and Christ was actually anointing our friendship and like putting the right situations and people in our lives to kind of find our ways back. But it was 4 years, right? Like, what? I mean, I'm just kind of guessing.
I think three or four.
Three or 4 years where we were not friends.
Yeah.
And then God brought this, you know, beautiful situation into both of our lives that kind of connected us. And slowly from there, we tested the waters, right? Like slowly trusting each other. And now when we've had our own little situations, like, the friendship is worth it.
Yeah.
We have come to each other.
Yeah.
Like, not to say we've never gotten mad or anything, or like, haven't spoken or gone through these difficult right. times. But the important part is that we know each other's hearts.
Yeah.
The friendship is worth fighting for.
Right.
The depth has bared. I don't know how to say this word in this verb.
Barren.
No. So much fruit is what I'm trying to say. The relationship bears fruit.
Right. Right.
It's been worth it. And it's not been easy. But we've right. confronted each other and we've grown closer from that.
Well, and I think that's, but it's also, we both needed that time apart, like to know that, because sometimes the Lord is going to call you to put distance, you know, there, and that's okay too.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That you may have to grow apart in order to grow closer. And it's as long as you both, I think, and that's the difference in our friendship, is that I think both of us wanted each other's good, and mm-hmm. both of us was sad, like we were sad about losing each other, but we needed that time, you know what I mean? And so the Lord, and it was beautiful because it was this, like we had to rebuild trust with each other,
right.
you know, which took a lot of learning each other's love languages and like,
time.
Okay, how did I fail last time? And how can I fix that this time? You know, which I just think is so amazing and
well,
beautiful.
The beauty of like, we see these situations on TV, whether it's reality TV, regular TV, movie, where like movies where someone does something and someone shuts them out of their life completely.
Right, right.
No mercy, no forgiveness, no openness
right.
for growth.
Right.
And what a loss.
Right.
Like what a loss had, you know, we both were really hurt by each other.
Right.
What a loss if we would have just said, nope, done.
Right.
Like never again. I mean, not only to us, but like to the people around us, what a loss that would have been.
Oh, yeah.
So even though time can be important for two people to keep that open to God, again, inviting
right.
the Holy Spirit in to where maybe God is calling a reunion down the line. Like we
right.
don't know,
right.
but
right.
that's the beauty of forgiveness, of mercy, and just keeping the lines of communication
right.
open with God
right.
in prayer.
Right. But at the same time, just because I think this is such a problem with Christianity where it's like turn the other cheek means that you can let somebody abuse you,
right,
you know,
right.
and you should just take it, you know, and
yes.
that is not, I'm here to say that that is not a correct theology. Like the Lord is not calling us. And it's funny, my spiritual director said this, because I had this kind of distorted view of it as well, where I had accepted this, like, oh, well, they said to turn the other cheek,
mm-hmm.
you know, be like Jesus, you know, do like Jesus. And he's like, yeah, but you aren't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, I mean, I know I'm not Jesus, but like.
But what are you talking about?
But I was literally like, but I'm supposed to be like him. Like, I'm supposed to strive to be like him. But his whole point was like, God is God. Like, he is all powerful, all loving. You know what I mean? And he has the strength
mm-hmm.
to love people no matter what.
Like, he's Jesus.
Right. Like, he has the strength to take the abuse. He has, but
right.
but there are certain points at which our mental health, our physical health is
well,
being affected.
The strength to separate, like, the woundedness that's
yes.
causing the abuse
yes.
from the person and love
right.
the person, not get so affected by the abuse.
Right. And we, in our limited capacity, we have to accept that we have limitations, and that if somebody is causing us such mental or physical pain, we can't just keep turning the other cheek in the sense of like letting it happen over and over again.
Well, and
you
even
know?
If it's to someone we love.
Right.
Maybe it's not happening directly to us, but
right.
maybe there's someone close to the both of us. What is right to sit there and allow that abuse to happen
right.
or to say something? Like, what is truth? What is justice call?
Right.
And it's in black and white in the Gospels.
Right.
It is right there in black and white. Like, when did Jesus not confront truth, whether it was comfortable or not?
Oh, my gosh.
Most of the
yeah.
time, it's not comfortable.
Like, everybody's like, oh, like, there's always these pictures of Jesus that are like, oh, you know, and he's like, so like, I don't know, meek and mild. And I'm like, bull crap.
Thank you.
Bull crap. I mean, he was flipping tables. He was speaking truth to the Pharisees. I mean, he freaking called the Pharisees out on their sin as they ripped a woman from her adulterous bed,
yes.
you know, and he's like, who of you hasn't sinned? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like he was like, not a crowd pleaser.
Exactly.
You know,
no,
he spoke truth.
Okay. Well, and
yeah.
that's the love. That is the choice
yes.
of love and that the act of the will
Right.
To love is a choice. It's a verb. It's an action.
Right.
And it doesn't always feel good.
Right.
That's what we teach. We want to teach our kids, right? Like that, that love, that feeling that they talk about in movies and stuff. Like, now love has good love, like as a byproduct of that choice, does often feel good. But love in and of itself is a choice.
Right.
And it's often really hard.
Ugh,
but that's what makes it so beautiful. Look at the cross.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is like, this is what's, if we look at Christ's example, with all the apostles, he wasn't just like, yeah, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Like, if you want to, you know, what you're doing is okay. He was like, no, get up, sin no more, and freaking follow me. Like, he freaking says to Peter, he's like, yeah, follow me. And Peter's like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he calls them out on their crap. Like, he never once is just like, yeah, that's okay what you're doing, Matthew. You know, like, it's okay that you're a tax collector and that you're screwing people over and that you're living this sinful lifestyle. Right. No, he calls them to holiness. And so we, in turn, have to, if we truly love someone, we have to tell them the truth. Right. And that takes, to me, that takes more love. Because there's a fear of rejection. There's a fear of the other person turning the finger back around on you. There's a fear of this person is going to think that I'm being a jerk, you know, when really your heart is pure and you're just saying, listen, this is hard for me to tell you that you're doing this, but it's the truth and I have to tell you.
Because I love you.
Right.
And it's important going into it. We've got to be able to approach something from a place of love. Like, so we need, if we don't feel like we can do that yet, take some time, invite the Holy Spirit, help me to say this in love. Because it'll be more productive that way as well.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
If someone has to, can't feel judged or manipulated, like it's gotta be like, look, I love you.
Right.
Your behavior is hurting someone.
Right.
It's hurting you and it's hurting that person.
Right.
I'm telling you this because I love you and I want more for you. Like, there's a difference.
Right.
I want so much more for you.
Right.
Let me help you. How can I help you?
Well, and I kind of have like an example of a situation that happened with me and our friend Lauren.
Yes, yes, yes.
And oh my gosh, Lauren was put in my life, just like a little side note. And this was actually like when Mary and I were broken up. And I prayed for like a really good friend because I had kind of like been attracted to dysfunctional people my whole life. And I prayed for a friend that was a healthy relationship, and the Lord gave me Lauren. And she has been such a blessing to my life because she came from a good family with not a lot of issues like mine. Yeah. And like, so she's just really helped me.
A healthy perspective.
Yeah. She's helped me to heal and helped me to be a better person and a better friend, you know, because of her example, you know? And so, she has been such a consistent friend, and sadly, you know, there have been times where I haven't been for her. And recently after, you know, I was out of, you know, okay, so she comes over, and this is after ICU stay, this is like months after all of that, and I had not been working and everything, and she comes over. For one, she knows that I like pedicures, and she knows that I can't leave the house right now, so she brings over her pedicure bath thing, and she rubs down my feet.
Stop it.
No, like this is
like 12 Jesus washing the disciples' feet.
Okay, so let's talk about like turn the other cheek, because this is what it goes into. So she sits there and she massages my feet. Like, let's
stop
talk
it.
About
Lauren,
I know.
And I did not know this story, friend.
I know. I asked her if I could tell this story, and she was like, just make sure I don't sound creepy. It was not creepy in any way. She knew that I wasn't sleeping, that I was in a lot of pain and all this, and I'm going to get teary. And she literally knelt at my feet and rubbed my feet with oil.
I'm
like
getting chills right
now. I know,
now. What the
I know.
Heck?
It's like, she's so amazing. And so then we like talk, and it's been a while since we had talked, and you know, I knew things were between us. I knew there was stuff, you know, like
there was something.
Yeah. And you know, and so as we're talking and we're opening up and we're catching up, you know, I don't know if I encouraged her to, but I'm, you know, like I want to know if I've hurt you, you know?
Right.
So she shares with me, you know, she opens up and is, you know, I'm sharing with her a lot of stuff that I'm having self-realizations about, and things that, I struggle with, you know, and I've been telling her that I have had a really hard time being open about my health issues my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so for years I've been going, and then I crash, and then going, crash. Right. And I'm running on empty all the time, but yet my personality is still workaholic and go, you know? Right. So I'm telling her all this, and I'm telling her, you know, what I've realized is that, like, I never was honest with people about how bad I was feeling. And so my friends didn't, like, they think that I don't care about them because I wasn't there, or like they wouldn't hear from me or whatever. But it was really me struggling with my health. And like, so I'm telling her this whole thing, and like, we're talking through it, and she's like, wow, this is really giving me some understanding about our friendship. Because she was like, you know, I told David, which is her husband, like, your friendship is one of the hardest friendships for me. And my heart just like sank. Like, I was like, because she's been such a good, like, I see our friendship and I'm like, oh, it's only beautiful. Right, but like, I'm the wounded friend for her. You know what I mean? And like, so she's sharing her hurt with me. And she tells me, like, basically, you know, like, it's been hard because sometimes I don't know if you care enough. And like, you'll get so busy. And basically, I let her go to the wayside, you know, and like, I don't put her as a priority. And so she feels like, you know, our friendship, she doesn't know if I care about her or not, you know. And my heart was just like broken. Okay, so here's this woman who's just literally massaged my feet, and yet she's hurting from me. Like, talk about the ultimate merciful, right, Christ-like example. This is why she's so freaking awesome. And she was so beautiful and merciful, because I just said, Lauren, I am so sorry. Like, I had no idea you felt this way. I didn't know I was hurting you like that. And praise God, like, that he gave me the grace to be humble enough to hear what she had to say. And then praise God, because she freaking forgave me right away. You know what I mean? And
it's so healthy, first of all, just to be able to talk about, like, dialogue with someone we love like that, in a friendly, like you were open.
Yeah.
You gave her the freedom. That's something else we didn't talk about. Yeah. The freedom. Like, it's so important for us to have that freedom to share our hearts in a respectful way like that. And it's then so productive, like, for both of you, healing. And then you have grown closer from that experience instantly.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but here's the thing, is that I want to say this, that that's taken years of healing for me to get to a place where I wasn't immediately defensive. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, when I was at my most woundedness, I would have been so defensive, I probably would have ruined our friendship, you know? But because of the beauty of going to counseling, spiritual direction, going to trauma therapy, and all these healing things, like, the Lord has given me the grace to be open to when I've hurt somebody. And instead of it being like, you're telling me I'm a bad person, because that's what I used to feel like. It's like, I used to have this very black and white, like, you're either good or you're bad, you know? And through healing, through counseling, I have come to realize that no, like, we all have good and we all have bad, you know, we all make mistakes. So when she told me I had failed her, I no longer heard it as you're a failure, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
like
good.
What I heard was, like, in my heart, I knew I didn't intend to hurt her. So I didn't have to be defensive.
Right.
What I heard was my friend was hurting. And I wanted to tell her the truth about how I really feel about her and what her friendship has meant to me, and then apologize and then work to find out what is it that I can do that I don't have to hurt you this way anymore, you know? And not to say that I'm great at it still, and that we're not going to have to work on our friendship still, you know, but it was such a moment of grace between the two of us that God was so present in. And we haven't even seen each other since, because I'm homebound. She has kids. It's hard for me to be around kids. My immune system stinks, you know?
Right.
So, but we've been messaging and texting, and, you know, and like, I don't know. It's just
now you're aware, so you can say something here or there, so she knows you haven't forgotten her.
Exactly.
You know, like, now you have almost like this blueprint to follow, you know, because now you know what she needs.
Well, and now what I hope is that she knows that she can come to me, that it doesn't have to be so long in between. And that's what I think. That's the beauty of turning the other cheek. Like, I think that's what that really means, is that when somebody comes to you, that you're receptive and open, you know what I mean? And you can be like, listen, I'm here, I'm willing to listen. And, you know, even if I have hurt, because it does, it feels like somebody's slapping you across the face, you know, when you hear that you've hurt somebody, you know, right. Like, but it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you don't have to be threatened when you failed someone, you don't have to be threatened by that, because it's not, they're not saying, oh, you're a horrible person. They're just saying, hey, you made a mistake.
I think
you know?
Made a really important point that is just good in general to think of, just as we function as human beings in all of our relationships, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or another family bond or something, is that like we have to understand that we can hurt someone. Exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we're bad or we're a horrible person. Like, we can be loved through that. That's what Christ is for us. Like, he loves us. He knows us fully, right? Yeah. And he loves us anyway. And he knows the good and the bad. Ugh. So it's so hard to get past that, I think, especially more for some people than others. But just to understand, we can still like love each other. How else could we do it? Because we're imperfect human beings. We're gonna hurt each other.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. I mean, and that's the thing, is like, it just keeps going back to Christ as the example. Like, I mean, I think about, there was this kind of quote, I think it was from a saint, and it talked about how, like, you know, basically you are looking at somebody else. We can easily be like, oh, I'm so much better than this person. But the reality is, if we are really humble, we can look internally and be like, they're probably better than us. You know, our worst enemy is probably better than us, because if you really like look internally and see kind of the ways that you failed, you know, and yet Christ still comes and forgives you every single time, no matter how big it is, you know, so how can we not do that for others? You know what I mean?
Preach.
And it's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. So, but man,
that was like my brain exploding. I'm just doing this and no one can see it.
Brain matter.
Let's just high five that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I got really excited.
No, that was awesome.
It's such a good conversation, Mary. It's so good.
I know.
So you got a word for me?
I do. I have a word. I have a couple words for you. Okay. So I have some words on the phone for you, but I have like a word from my brain for today that I think you'll appreciate.
Okay. You have to reintroduce this section though, because, you know, good I don't point. Think they know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, we didn't do it the last two episodes, but when we started this, we always, like a year and a half ago, we concluded with a word of the day.
A word of the day.
And it was just me. It was like this stupid thing I could always think of, that like having a word of the day. It's just kind of dumb. But basically, I give Elise a word. She guesses the definition.
Yes.
And then uses it in a sentence. And then I make fun of her. So it's perfect. And all right. So, okay. We're just going to make this up as we go along.
Okay.
The word.
The word.
Is quiescence.
Quiescence. Oh gosh, my mind goes to bad places.
Stop thinking dirty, Elise. I know where your mind is going.
Man, I can't think of another one after, because my mind has already gone there. Okay, quiescence. It's when we learn the essence of a question. Quiescence.
You're so good at making up definitions, even though that has nothing to do with the actual definition.
But wait, I'm supposed to put it into a sentence.
You use a sentence and then I'll use a sentence.
Okay.
And I'll tell you where I get this word from.
Wait, what did I say the definition was?
The essence of a question.
Okay.
I don't even know.
I don't even know how to put that into a sentence. So you just
okay,
tell me
I'm
what
gonna
it is.
I'm going to give you a sentence. Yellow stamps indicates ovarian quiescence.
Of course, it's something to do with the female body function.
But you're on yellow stamps. So you
wait, say it again.
Figure this out. The yellow stamps indicate ovarian quiescence.
PCOS?
Okay, so I learned this word, and so I'm like training to become a Creighton model practitioner, right? We talked about that last time. I think, did we even? I don't even remember. Spoiler alert, I'm training to become a Creighton model practitioner. Anyway, this is a word that they use, which means quietness or inactivity. Ovarian, like the ovaries are quiet.
So like
you're having the cervical you're having the mucus while you're using yellow stamps, but it's not actually fertile. It's not indicating ovulation. Am I totally boring like everyone on earth right now?
No. Oh, okay. Actually, I'm like, man, this is a great word to be able to use when I have right? 50 like, million quiescences.
Why be like, be quiet, child. Quiescence, child.
Oh my gosh.
That was so stupid. But anyway, why so do they have, fun. My question is, why yes. do we have to use the word ovarian quiescence? Why can't we just say inactivity?
Because it's way more fun.
It's way more cool. Anyway, that's the word of the day. I need some theme music. And there we go. So anyway.
We're gonna get those, the buttons that do yes, little sounds. Buttons. Yeah. Will was like, does Mary want it tonight?
And I
was
yes,
like,
yes, Mary wants it tonight, William.
I was like, no, I think she can wait. It's
we're
gonna
have
right.
to have a very hard, serious hard talk about the fact
that
the
he
buttons.
Could not get Come your on. Buttons ready to go. That just sounds bad.
Yeah, anyway, moving on, back out of quiescence. Anyway, thanks so much for tuning in. I think this was like a really good talk to have. Look, we're gonna talk about the hard stuff, so I hope you're ready. To be challenged, people, because we're ready to challenge ourselves. And you look, our church is not talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have to do it. Not just us. I mean, yes, like so. All of the church. You know, we see y'all soon, y'all. Stay tuned.